an honor to spend some time learning together, and especially with the acknowledgement and the recognition of Rabbi Torchiner, our host tonight, and to be able to have this Rosh Kollel swap has been a great opportunity. First of all, for me to get to see Rabbi Torchiner, and for him to reconnect with our Chicago community, where he visited several times, and for me to be connected with the Toronto community, where I haven't had the opportunity to be in a little while, and being that a coronavirus is keeping everybody in their respective countries and states, I'm not sure when the next time I will be in Toronto, but the opportunity to share Torah together transcends national and international boundaries. So I thank you all for joining tonight. And our theme this evening is letters. And I want to focus, I spoke with Rabbi Torchiner about this idea of exploring a few letters that together can help us grow during this time on a spiritual level. So I want to begin by sharing my screen so that you can see the first letter that we are going to deal with tonight, the first of the three letters between two individuals. The letter that you see in front of you on the screen is a handwritten letter, as you see on the top, Yom Chav Ches Teves in Kovno. The letter is addressed, Hod Kvod, Aleph Dalet Mem Vav Reish is Adoni Mori Verabi Hagon, etc. A whole bunch of honorific titles addressed to one rabbi, written by another rabbi. Who is the recipient of this letter? We'll get to in a minute. Who is the author of this letter? We'll get to in a minute. If you could see, just a show of thumbs up, if you could see my mouse moving on the screen. Yes. Hineni, I am Miskabed, I am honored to share the Gilyonos. Gilyonos are writings, drafts, Harishonim, the beginning, shall Sifri of my letter, of my book, Toras Hanazir, the Torah of a Nazir. Sheholich Lidfus Kais Bekovna. That is going to be printed now in Kovno. What do you think this author of this letter is asking for? Any guesses? Anybody want to put themselves on unmute? What is the author of this Sefer? That's right. Thank you. Reb Michael, Shalom Aleichem, long time no see. He's looking great, thank God. He's looking for an approbation. This is a request for a haskama of a book called Toras HaNazir. What is the Toras HaNazir? Tochen, I'll show it back on the screen again. Tochen, the content of this HaSefer, Hu Chidushim Ubiurim V'inyone Nazirus, on the topic of Nazirus, of a person becoming a Nazirite, Mesudarim Al Pi Seder Hilchos Nazirus LaHarambam, organized according to the words of the Rambam in the laws of Nazirus. Why do you think we're studying this letter? Why is this important? Why would this be of any interest to anyone who's looking at the screen and looking at this small rabbinic scrawl? Well, the reason why we're studying this, why this might be of interest to some of you, is because the author of this letter is an unusual, outstanding, singular Talmudic giant, and the recipient of this letter is one. The author is a broad, open-minded, sophisticated Talmudic scholar, as is the recipient. They come in certain respects from similar worlds, and they end up in very different ones, but they overlap in many interesting ways, and they share insights that can help us navigate life. Who signs the letter? Look on the bottom. Bitzipia lemichtavo kvod gaono hini chosem. I can't read. Hamis Avik Ba'afar Raglov. I, the writer of this letter, are clinging to the dust of the feet of you, the giant. Letter is signed by, you see those two words at the bottom, Yitzchak Huttner. Who is the recipient of this letter? None other than Maran Rabbi Avram Yitzchak HaKohen Kuk Shlita. The recipient of the letter is soon to be the first, or by this time currently already, the first chief rabbi of the modern settlement of Israel. Not yet the state of Israel, but the modern settlement of Israel. This letter, the handwritten letter that you saw just now on the screen, represents a link, a bridge of worlds, of generations, of student and teacher that is very significant in the development of our understanding of how we learn and how we learn from others and what it means to develop a relationship with a teacher. So let's unpack this a little bit. Who is the student? Who is the author of this letter? The author of this letter is Rav Yitzchak Huttner. Rav Huttner, born in Warsaw in 1906, studied in the famous Yeshiva of Slobodka, and he was known as a prodigy, a child, a brilliant child prodigy. He became a student, a beloved student of the Altar of Slobodka, Rav Nosson Zvi Finkel. I'll share with you a picture of Rav Huttner now on the screen. Great picture of Rav Huttner. This is an article that you see in front of you, which you might want to take. It's a very beautiful description of Rav Huttner written in the Jewish Action from several years ago, which I'm happy to share with you if you like afterwards. Rav Huttner grows up as a child prodigy under the Altar of Slobodka and then is sent in 1925 to a yeshiva that is the extension of the Slobodka Yeshiva in Israel. Anybody know what the name of that yeshiva was called? What city was that yeshiva put in? It was founded in 1924. Any guesses? That's right, the Chevron Yeshiva. Slobodka, the Rosh Yeshiva of Slobodka, transplanted a bunch of guys to Israel in 1924. They stay there until 1921. Of course, the famous massacres of Tarpat, when the Chevron Yeshiva, many of the Bachrim have to leave. They flee, but several of the Bachrim are murdered, and the Yeshiva has to relocate to Yerushalayim. But it wasn't Chevron. Rav Huttner comes to Chevron, and he's studying in Israel. In Israel, he develops a relationship with none other than Rav Avram Yitzchak HaKohen Kuk. By this time, Rav Kook is living in Yerushalayim, and he has founded his yeshiva, Yeshiva Merkazit Olamid, Merkaz Arav, that you can visit today. Rav Kook now is connected with this young genius, Rav Yitzchak Huttner. Rav Kook, where is he coming from? Rav Kook was born in 1865 in Lithuania, and he studies in a great yeshiva called Volozhin. After that, he becomes a rav in two small towns in Europe called Zoymel and Boisk. And in 1904, he becomes the rav of Yafo. He makes aliyah to Eretz Yisrael. In 1914, he ends up in Switzerland going to a conference. But what happens in 1914? Anybody know? It's going to affect Rav Kook. Yes, David? World War I, that's right. World War I breaks out. Rav Kook gets stuck. Yes, someone else got that right. Rav Kook gets stuck in Europe for more than 3 years. He ends up moving to London, where he becomes the rabbi of the Machzike Hadas Shul. Finally, in 1919, he comes back to Israel, and he becomes a chief rabbi of Yerushalayim. 1921, chief rabbi of Israel. 1924, founds Merkaz Arav, and he dies in 1935. Rav Kook and Rav Huttner, their lives begin to intersect. And even though they take very different paths, because after this interaction, in 1934, soon after he married, Rav Huttner moved to New York, where briefly he was the menahal of the RJJ High School before moving to Yeshivas Chaim Berlin, which is the institution that he headed in an iconic fashion for decades. During the last years of his life, he lived part-time in Israel and established a yeshiva. Some of you may have seen this yeshiva, driven past in Harnov, called Pachad Yitzchak. He passed away in 1980, although he's very had a famous episode in 1970, where Rav Huttner was actually on a hijacked airliner that was captured. He was ransomed for 3 weeks before he was released among the other prisoners. Rav Kook dies in 1935. Many of you are familiar with his life and his legacy. But how many people are familiar with their connection, with the connection of Rav Huttner and Rav Kook? And that approbation, that request for an approbation that we read for Rav Huttner's first work called Toras HaNazir demonstrates the reverence with which Rav Huttner held Rav Kook. And there are many maislach, there are many stories about the connection and the relationship between these two. Apparently, Rav Huttner used to spend a lot of time with Rav Kook, and they took long walks at night. One time, Rav Kook was walking with the younger disciple, and he asked Rav Huttner if he knew where they were going. You know, at the end of his life, Rav Kook spent some time in Kiryat Moshe. And it was a quiet neighborhood. In those days, Kiryat Moshe was a suburb. It was like a summer home for Rav Kook. Rav Huttner said to the Rav, "I'm sure, even though you don't know this neighborhood, I'm sure if the Beis HaMikdash were built today and you are the Kohen Gadol, you would know every entrance and passageway of this temple." And Rav Kook apparently responded to him, "Yeah, when it comes to holy matters, it's easier to remember." Rav Huttner apparently spent a lot of time visiting with Rav Kook. And there's an interesting story that Rav Huttner, in one of the exchanges, he once witnessed a maisa with Rav Kook, Rav Kook's tremendous tzidkus. Then what happens? Rav Huttner goes back for a period to the altar, to the altar of Slobodka, and the altar asked him what it was like being in the home of Rav Kook. And Rav Kook said that they spoke, and Rav Huttner said they spoke in learning. But you know what? The altar was not happy. Rav Huttner was so close to the altar. The altar treated him like a son. The altar put him, by the way, when he was in Slobodka, in a group with older married gentlemen, older Bachram actually, not married, who resented the fact that this kid, Yitzchak Huttner, was with them, and the altar chastised them. "You don't understand what a genius this man is." He was so close with the altar. So the altar said, "What do you mean? What was it like being with Rav Kook?" So he said, "Okay, you know, the altar was very big into piety and ethical development." So he says, "Okay, I'll tell you one story." He told the altar that it was 11 o'clock in the morning and a glass of milk that the Rebbetzin had brought to Rav Kook still hadn't been touched. Meanwhile, in the hallway, and for those of you who have the opportunity, you can actually go today to Rav Kook's house. It's on Rechov HaRav Kook, just off of Rechov Yafa. When we have the Yerushalayim back, the opportunity to go and visit, I highly recommend. It's a fascinating, fascinating visit. It teaches you a lot about Rav Kook. You can see this room. You see the chair that he sat on. You see the desk. You see the shelves right behind him in this small chamber. You can go visit it today. It's incredible. So Rav Huttner says, I was in Rav Kook's house. I was standing there. And there was a glass of milk he hadn't touched. He was still busy. It was 11 o'clock in the morning. And there was a British official sitting in the hallway. And this British official was waiting, who had an appointment. But in the meeting with Rav Kook was an elderly Talmud Chacham who had a couple of questions. But unfortunately, this elderly Talmud Chacham, he was struggling with hearing. And so even though he had questions for Rav Kook, as Rav Kook was answering him, he couldn't hear. And so Rav Kook had to keep repeating. And so Rav Huttner describes that Rav Kook patiently answered the nearly deaf visitor, and he kept repeating it. And even though the shamash would enter the room, Rav Kook's attendant would say, "Rebbe, you know, there's a man sitting here waiting." But Rav Kook kept saying to him, "Yes, but Kavod HaTorah, Kavod HaTorah." So apparently the altar said to Rav Huttner, he said, "You told me you didn't see anything. You just talked in learning." He said, "If you didn't see this, then what is seeing?" Said the altar to Rav Huttner. "If you didn't see that," Rav Kook's giant is just his tremendous Kavod HaTorah, his midos. Many suggest that Rav Kook introduced Rav Huttner to the world of Machshava. Everybody who studies Rav Huttner knows that Rav Huttner's hallmark is understanding and explaining and illuminating the Maharal, the 17th
you know, the great, one of the greatest Jewish philosophers of the last 500 years. So the Maharal is massive. You know, I could show you in the library the number of svarim of the Maharal. And Rav Huttner was a genius at developing and expanding and elucidating the Maharal. So some legends have it that Rav Huttner's exposure to the Maharal and the world of Jewish philosophy came from his connection to Rav Kook. So what does Rav Kook do? Rav Kook writes a haskama to the Sefer Torah Sanazir. So I'm going to show you the Torah Sanazir now on the screen. I will share with you one tragic reality, and that is that the Torah Sanazir, which you see in front of you, you see it says on the bottom, written by Yitzchak Huttner, Mi Varsha, from Warsaw, from the Yeshiva Knesset Yisrael, Slabotka in Chevron. He dedicates it to his parents, Reb Chaim Yoel and Mrs. Chana Huttner, with love, published Kovna, 1932. Now, unfortunately, in this edition, there's only one haskama. That haskama is from the great Gon, the Gadol Hador of that time, Rav Chaim Ozer Grzesinski, the Abbezin of Vilna. So if you look on the screen right now, you see it says, Haskamas Hagaonim, Michtevei Hagaonim, letters of the geniuses, of the giants of the generation. This one is Chaim Ozer Grzesinski. You see it on the screen? Unfortunately, in this edition, the next haskama is missing. And that is a separate discussion, a political discussion, of why Rav Kook's haskama somehow disappeared from this sefer. But with a little bit of digging, thanks to Rabbi David Beshevkin, we actually still have editions with a copy of Rav Kook's haskama, which you now see. It's a little hard to see on the page. Can you see it though? Something? Yerushalayim, Ir HaKodesh. Hein halom. Now I see. Baruch mibonim. Amazing. Yedidi, my friend. V'chaviv levavi. My beloved of my heart, Rav Kook writes. Layish v'lavi. Arav, Hagon, Tsoyer, etc., etc. Moreno v'rabbeinu Rav Yitzchak Huttner. Rav Kook writes the most honorific descriptions of Rav Huttner. And he says, I want to give me, you see where it says here with the little, you see the little cursor moving on the screen? Can you see it? Thumbs up there? Okay. Hineni bazeh amabia mimamake levavi. I want to share from the depths of my heart my blessings to my friend, this gold to Pharisee Yisrael, etc. of Rav Huttner. And he closes the letter here in this next one. Shalom, etc., etc. Rav Avram Yitzchak HaKohen Kook, Harav HaRashi LeEretz Yisrael. Brach of the Shalom. So even though it was excised from a later edition, we have that haskama, that letter full of warmth and love and connection that goes now from the Rebbe to the Talmud, from Rav Kook to Rav Huttner. And even though Rav Kook became a famous personality whose views on history and philosophy and the world were notably and markedly different than those that Rav Huttner would develop over time, nonetheless, this nexus is so crucial because it's understanding both of them that they came from European worlds, moved to new worlds, built and were open-minded to appreciate the differences of perspectives around them. Rav Kook open to all different kinds of worlds, and Rav Huttner not just limited by the Slabodka environment, but open to interacting and appreciating that of Rav Kook as well. These are two important people that we need to know and get to appreciate, and also to understand the relationship that we had, that they had with each other. And leaving aside, we can ignore any politics and hashkafic debates that exist in various communities and loud noise. When you read the letters, you feel that palpable sense of love that the Talmud had for the Rebbe and the Rebbe had for the Talmud. So all of this is just an introduction. Now you're thinking, we're going to be here all night. In Chicago, it's not Shkia yet. I have to still daven Mincha. Don't worry. This is just an introduction to let us appreciate the context of the two letters that I want to bring to your attention. And these two letters are of great importance because they can give us chizuk during difficult times. And now that we understand the author of these letters, the authors of these letters, and the relationships that and the relationship that they have with each other, we can have a greater appreciation of them, of who wrote them and their message. So here you are looking at the Igros Uchsavim of Rav Yitzchak Kuttner. Can you see it on the screen here? Igros Uchsavim. This is letter 128. Both of these letters that we're going to see tonight are letters written to people in crisis who are struggling. And don't we all go through periods of crisis in our lives in different ways? The first letter is Rav Kuttner's letter that's written here in Tav Shin Chaf Gimel, 1963, where Rav Kuttner writes a letter to a student. He's responding to the student who says, apparently it's evident from the letter, the student is struggling. And he's writing to his Rebbe. He says, Rebbe, I'm out of the yeshiva now. I'm an alumnus, but I'm really, really struggling. I'm struggling. How do I manage? What do I do? So Rav Huttner writes back to him, and we're going to skip down. Rav Huttner writes back to him, Dalacha Chaviv, you should know, my beloved, Shishorish Nishmascha hu lo hashalva shal hayetzer tov, eladafka milchamto shel hayetzer tov. Life is not about peace and placid, calm waters of the Yetzer Tov. Rather, it's about the struggle and the battle to do what's right. And yes, maybe in the moment you're struggling, but the fact that you're writing a letter about your struggles, your letter, Mechtavcha Yakar Nilbav, if I had maybe another couple hours, you know what we would do? We would read this line by line. We would translate and go through each line to appreciate the beginning and the end. But basically, this is the heart of it. Rav Furner says, your beautiful letter, Mayid Kameyitim, it testifies that it's true. Achein Lochim Neman Ata B'tzivah Shal Yetzer Tov. You are in the service in the army of the Yetzer Tov. Ba'anglit, he says here, a great phrase in English. You speak English in Canada, right? Eh? Yes. Eh? Okay. Ba'anglit omrim, lose a battle and win the war. That's what Rav Huttner writes. You see it? Bevadai, it's true. Shincha nichshal v'omid lios nichshal. It's true. You're going to fall down. You're going to make mistakes. You're going to feel bad. And yes, there are going to be battles that we lose. Aval ani maftiach lecha, that after we lose those battles, you could still win the wars. Because the Pasuk says, Shalom HaMelech taught us in Mishlei, Sheva yipol tzadik v'kam. A righteous person falls 7 times and gets up. Vatipshim choshvim. The fools think, says Rav Huttner, ki kavanoso. The point is to say, even though he falls down 7 times, he still gets up. No, aval hachachamim, next page. Yodim heitev, they know really well. Shakavani shemohus hakima shal hatzadik yiderech sheven afilos. It's because it's through the process of tripping and falling that we get up and we become a tzaddik. I'm holding on to you, says Rav Huttner. Hineni lochets oscha levavi. I'm pulling you close to my heart. How does a Rebbe treat a Talmud? How does a Rebbe treat a Talmud who's struggling? How does Rav Huttner treat this student of his with love, with closeness, with support during a time of difficulty? It's that same quality that he learned from his Rebbe, from Rav Kook, who wrote him with that same regesh of love, that same love that he got from the altar. The way that we work through struggle, says Rav Huttner, is by picking ourselves up and not despairing when we fall down. Here's the next letter. A letter from Rav Kook. This one, not to a student who's struggling, but to a close student of his whose son is struggling. This letter is written, you see here on the page. I hope you can see it. Give me a thumbs up here. This is in Chelek Beis, in the second letter of the Igros, thank you, in Kuf Lamed Ches 138, Iyar Tuf Reish Samach Ches 1908. Rav Kook's writing from Yafo, 1908. He says, I'm so happy to hear from you, the rabbi, the wonderful Moreno Rabbeinu Rav Dov Ber Milstein. I don't know who this is. I probably could do a lot of research and figure it out. Who is Dov Ber Milstein? I don't know. He was a confidant of Rav Kook. He says, Rav Kook writes, he says, Ken Yedidi, yes, my friend, I hear the brokenness in your heart. Why is your heart broken? Because unfortunately, you're telling me about your son, and that your son is no longer considering himself part of the Torah community. He's gone off the derech. Rav Kook says, you're heartbroken. I'm hearing you. However, he says, listen to me. Here's what I'm going to advise you. If you think that you should do what many people think, Sheroy bisman hazeh, to do in this day, lahafker es osam abonim asher sor midarkei haTorah veEmuna, to abandon those kids who went off the derech, ayidei zerem hazman asor, through the torrent of the intellectual foment of the day, hineni omer befem molei shezozu haderech, this is not the way. Rav Kook then goes on to make a fascinating halachic argument, based on a Gemara in Sanhedrin, that you could even consider potentially students, kids, young people growing up, and remember, this is in 1906, in the era of nationalism and all kinds of social movements. Rav Kook never even heard of Facebook, he never heard of the internet, he never heard of the other things that pull kids, Nebuch, today away. He says that maybe you could argue, Shel Zerem Hazman, that is an onus. They're anusim, you see here on the fourth line of the next page, anusim gemurim, and we should treat them leniently. We should understand that's the context in which they are being raised. Rather, he says, therefore, we should look for hope. Haneshama apnibis, the inner voice of these children who are off the derech, it's still always going to be there. And the main thing, says Rav Kook, is that, go down a little bit further, Yevshal ledamos olsan l'rishoyim, don't look at them as wicked people, rak acharei tavosam abahamis. Don't throw them away. Ladati, the main thing is, next paragraph, atzasi lechvoto, my advice to you, sha'amnam yoser mikafi yacholto vaday ein shum chiyav lahamis alatzmo. You can't take upon yourself more than you can do, but whatever you can do, you can't do more than you can. That's the first thing. Don't expect too much of yourself. Don't blame yourself, and don't expect you could do more. But whatever you could do, yikarva b'siyu l'tzarech parnasasam, the children who are off the derech, help support them financially. And through that, you'll have an opportunity, through letters, to connect with them, and to give them musar b'seichel tov, and open your heart to them. The main thing, the ikar, if derech musar to the young people who are off the derech, to this struggling father, is la'orosam shelo yazvus avas amam. At least they should love the Jewish people. They shouldn't come to abandon their Jewishness, their Jewish identity, from where they are hewn. And after that, Emir Tashem, through that avas am, through that love of their people, of their ummah, that'll hopefully bring them back, what he calls Latikon Hamaisim, that eventually will bring them back to tshuva. And the tshuva will come, eventually, please God, Acharei HaPeretz HaRachav HaGadol SheNifratz Achshav, eventually, Mirtz Hashem, that will come, and then he concludes the next section of the letter. Echtom Bebracha, I close with a blessing that we should see, Betuv, Avram Yitzchak HaKohen Kuk. Two letters to two people who are struggling. Letters of encouragement, of positivity, a Rebbe and a Talmud, of understanding that when people struggle and when people make mistakes, we don't abandon them. This is important for the recipients of the letter, but it's also important for us to see how these two great masters, these two Torah giants, who, by the way, had many similarities in that they were a confluence of the yeshiva world, but also the sweetness of Hasidus. It's not just that they both wore spodix. They both had that synthesis of the Lithuanian genius and the warmth of Hasidus. But this is the way that they understood people, and they understood their students and their Talmidim. When we go through challenges, when we go through struggles, Rav Huttner tells us, don't despair, sheva yipol tzadik v'kam. By struggling, we grow, and we become that tzadik by getting up and being part of the tzava of the Yetzer Tov. When we see others who are struggling, who have lost their way, Rav Kook says, don't throw them away. And that applies to us too. When we're struggling, we shouldn't throw our Yiddishkeit and ourselves away. And even when we feel far away, to make sure that we maintain that positive connection to our Jewish identity. This time, at the time of the 3 weeks, when sometimes maybe we feel distant from HaKadosh Baruch Hu. At this time during coronavirus, maybe we feel struggling and distance from others. To be able to read these letters that are written with love from our teachers of our generations and to realize that there is hope, that there is another day, and that even if today is a struggle, tomorrow, please God, will be better, and we should believe in ourselves and believe in our future. It's a beautiful encouragement, and to feel that warmth and love come through the page is something that can give us all chizuk.